the left field wall. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball.
And when he swung his bat, the crowd went wild because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball.
And welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast, the Jackie Robinson edition of the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks again for being here. Gary Hill with you once again. And we've got a lot. Today's a big, big day in baseball, Jackie Robinson Day, and we've got a lot coming up on that. We'll talk about the game last night as well, as the Mariners lost a heartbreaker, so we'll get into that in just a second. And we'll take a look at the game tonight as the Mariners finish up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. But I'm excited. This is one of my favorite days of the year, a day to celebrate Jackie Robinson. I mean, for me, one of my heroes, and it goes way beyond baseball. What he did for the game was sensational, but what he did for the country is overwhelmingly amazing. A hero in all aspects, and I am so proud to be a baseball fan on a day like this, knowing the social good that baseball did, that Jackie Robinson did, the social change that shaped the history of our country for the better. And we're going to talk a lot about Jackie Robinson coming up. So here's what we have. Some really good stuff. Ken Griffey Jr., he was on a spring training game just a couple of weeks ago and talking about Jackie Robinson. And he's the one that got this rolling with everyone wearing number 42. So he's going to tell that story coming up. I had a chance a couple years ago to talk to Jackie Robinson's daughter, Sharon Robinson, and she mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. as well, and she talks about her dad. It's really great stuff. That comes up as well. Rick Riz talked with Don Newcomb, a Jackie Robinson teammate. That's coming up as well. Shannon Dreher had a fantastic conversation with Ricky Weeks. That's coming up. So just a lot of really good stuff celebrating a fantastic day in Jackie Robinson Day. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But first, I guess the heart-wrenching portion of the podcast as the Mariners fall second heartbreak in a row. This last week has been, it's been wild. I mean, the couple of Oakland games that were wins and then just two heartbreaking losses as the Mariners fell last night. And it's funny, again, just like the night before, it got off to a great, great start as the Mariners, again, playing long ball right away.
The 1-2 to Cano, curve swing and a high drive deep into straightaway right field. Ethier back looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Robinson Cano with his first home run of the season. A towering blast into right field, with Austin Jackson in front of him, and the Mariners have a 2-0 lead here in the top of the first inning.
2-0 in the first inning, and they weren't done there because Nelson Cruz would come up, and of course he'd hit a home run.
3-2 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball deep to left field. Crawford going back against the wall, going and going. Crawford leaps up. It's gone. Goodbye, baseball. Nelson Cruz, holy smokes, his fifth home run of the year. He does it again. Cruz is now homered in four consecutive games.
Wow, fifth home run. That ties him with Adrian Gonzalez for the major league lead in home runs. And he's got a chance today to make a little bit of history. He becomes the first Mariner since Casper Wells to hit four home runs in four consecutive days, 4 days in a row, four games in a row with a home run. Casper Wells did it in 2011, so he's the first Mariner to do that, and he can join a pretty exclusive group. There's only four players that have hit home runs in five-plus straight games. You have Jay Buhner, who did it twice. He did it once in 95, once in 96, five games in a row with a home run. Alex Rodriguez did it in 1999, five games in a row with a home run. Richie Zisk was the first Mariner to do it in 1981. Their old DH did it five games in a row. And, of course, Ken Griffey Jr., the record setter, he did it eight games in a row in 1993. So Nelson Cruz, a chance to join that group. as he'll go for five in a row tonight, the major league leader in home runs as he continues to play long ball. So once again, Mariners playing long ball early, once again grabbing a lead early as things look great for the Mariners early on. But the Dodgers would strike back. They'd get one more in the third inning. So it was the Mariners 3-1 at that point. But then the Mariners would pick up another run thanks to Ricky Weeks.
The next offer, the way, swinging a line drive, base hit down the left field line. Willie Ronnie third, heading home, he'll score. Weeks, wide turn at first, now stops, gets back to the bag, up of the ball. Carl Crawford in left. The throw into second base, Ricky Weeks with a big RBI single here in the fourth.
Hisashi Iwakuma got the start in this one, and he'd really been dominant at NL Parks. 22 scoreless innings in NL Parks coming into this one. That streak will go by the wayside in the third inning, though, when the Dodgers push one across. As he just continued to kind of walk the tightrope in his start.
Iwakuma's 2-2. Swing and a miss. There goes the bat. Watch out. It is inside of the Mariners' dugout. Now pops on top of the dugout. And if you want to talk about a convincing strikeout, that, my friend, is certainly qualifying. That bat went all the way inside the Mariners, dug it off the rail possibly, and then bounced on top. Yikes, everybody's okay.
And then Guerrero would hit a home run in the fourth inning, a two-run shot. So it's a one-run game at that point, 4-3, when the Mariners would pick up another run.
From the belt, here's the pitch. Willie with a swing and a ground ball, slow roller to short, charging Rollins. Got it, the throw to first, in time to get Willie. But on the play, Cruz will score from third. And the Mariners get a big run here in the top of the fifth and now lead 5-3.
Leading 5-3, Andre Ethier would hit a home run, though, in the sixth inning. It's a one-run ball game. It's getting late. The bullpen doing their best to hold it down.
The pitch swinging a ground ball to Cano at second. Should be two. Over to second. One. Miller's relay to first in time. Double play. What a job by Yoervis Medina, and the inning is over. 4-6-3 double play.
Yeah, Houdini there getting out of the jam in the seventh inning. And then the eighth inning, getting a little defense to get it done.
Runner goes, pitch on the way, a strike. Thrown out to second by Zunino, and safe at second is Peterson. The throw by Zunino down to Robinson Cano. Cano thought he got him. The second base umpire, Chad Fairchild, said he was safe. Peterson called safe. And now Robinson Cano is walking toward the mound. He's looking at Lloyd McGlendon. And here comes Lloyd McGlendon out of the dugout, and he is going to ask for a replay review. He's going to walk out to the second base umpire, Fairchild, and out at second is Peterson.
So out at second base, heading to the ninth inning, one-run ball game. Fernando Rodney comes on to try and close it down. He did not. Turner single, Rollins single, Turner goes to third base, and then Crawford grounds into a fielder's choice. Pretty good play as Turner gets thrown out. The throw went home and then got him in a rundown. So Turner's out at third, and it gave the Mariners a glimmer right there with runners on first and second and one down. But then Adrian Gonzalez took a couple of pretty close pitches in the at-bat, drew a walk, it loaded him up, and then Howie Kendrick, man. Fortunately for the Mariners, this is the last they'll have to see of Howie Kendrick. As he's in the National League. You don't have to deal with Howie Kendrick after this series again this year unless, you know, the ultimate happens. But, yeah, Howie Kendrick comes up really, really big with a broken bat base hit.
And the Rodney pitch to Kendrick. Swing and a line drive base hit into right field. Scoring is Rollins. Crawford running third. The throw to the plate and safe at home is Crawford, and the Dodgers win it. A broken bat single into right field by Howie Kendrick, and the Dodgers come back to win it 6-5 here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Ah, heart ripped out, second game in a row. Ugh, so tough. So tough. I'll stand by what I said last night, though, is they win today. They're 4-5 to start the season, which is a good spot to be considering, again, nine games, the only team in baseball that had to start against three playoff teams from a year ago. A really tough start with the Angels, the A's, the Dodgers, 6 of the 9 on the road. So 4-5, a good spot to be, again, considering a lot of things, especially pitching-wise, have not gone right. And, you know, you think they will as the season moves on. But then you come home and a chance to do some real damage at home. So 4-5, not a bad place to be if they can get the game tonight. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. But first, how about reaction from this one? First, Robinson Cano struck that home run early. He had some good things to say after this one.
Good, but I mean, only 10 when you lose a game. So, what else you can do, you know? And you'll be ready for tomorrow. Things happen, and sometimes better happen now than later. Still got a lot of game left, and maybe it's a good message for us. I mean, you know, we just be ready from the beginning and trying to keep scoring the rest of the game, you know? And, things happen, so I know we got a good team. What can you do?
Some losses are tougher than others, so these two were pretty tough.
Yeah, you got to give credit to them. I mean, it's not that he was throwing balls. I mean, they take advantage of it, you know, to the pitch over the plate, and they take advantage, so nothing else you can do.
There's a veteran, Robinson Cano, talking about the loss, how tough it was. What about Lloyd McClendon, the skipper? Here he is reacting to the loss.
And it is a tough way to lose a ball against a good ball club over there. They grind their bats out, and they made it tough tonight.
Is he the better or same that you saw in Oakland, Rodney's last appearance tonight?
His stuff was good.
Iwakuma, you got him some early runs, and it just looked like it never really clicked. I mean, particularly it looked like the slider he had problems with.
Yeah, you know, they're a good team. And they know how to get pitch counts up. They grind their bats out. They foul off a lot of pitches. They make it real tough on starters. And it was a tough night for Iwakuma in that sense. Yeah.
A lot of two-strike pitches. He just couldn't finish them off.
Medina, you know, his performance tonight out of the bullpen, coming in with runners like that, how big was that for you?
He did a nice job for us tonight. Yeah.
Kind of similar to last night. You got some early runs, home runs, stuff that you can't quite hold on. Is it worrisome at all, your approach late in the game, offensively?
No, not really. Their relievers are rushing it up there pretty good. We hit some balls right on the nose that got caught as well, so our approach is fine. And the fact is, you score 5 runs just to win a ball game, you know. So you're not going to score every inning. And they're a good ball club over there. But our approach is just fine.
I understand they are a good ball club, but when you get multi-run leads for Paxton and Iwakuma back to back,
it's disappointing.
Yeah, they're going to get a win, right? Or hold on, or find a way, or something.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. We got to right the ship. But I will caution you. You know, we're 3-5. We're 8 games into a 162-game schedule. And I think this team is going to be just fine.
And finally, here's Fernando Rodney on the loss last night.
Just keep the ball down. You know? I think the ball they hit tonight, this pitch is right in the middle. And mostly I'm working both sides of the play. That pitch stay high, a little in, and that's why he can pull the ball. Or is the pitch get down? Maybe it's a ground ball double play.
Is that just a matter of a mechanic or coming in? Did you feel that in the bullpen today?
No, mechanic is it's nothing about mechanic because I feel like delivered the ball right there, but it's a little bit, some couple pitch. I miss the strike zone. And you know, here you can miss.
That's a lineup they got over there.
Yeah. Just try to be not perfect, though. Try to hit the strike zone.
How do you've been through tough times before. What do you do to bounce back? You know, if you've had a couple tough outings, is there anything you just keep everything the same or anything like that?
I'm going to keep my spot the same. I'm going to try to change nothing. I'm going to see what I've been doing in the last 2 games. And the last game I'm throwing spring training, what I've been doing, what's the difference now? Mm-hmm. So I try to keep the ball down. I think mostly in spring training, I keep the ball more down a little bit. Right now, like I said, a little bit. Miss couple spot.
That's Fernando Rodney. So the Mariners now turn their attention to tonight. They'll try and salvage the finale of the series. 7-10 first pitch. Taiwan Walker will go to the hill. He'll try and rebound after a tough first start. He'll go against Brett Anderson, the former Oakland A. Anderson now, after a stint with the Colorado Rockies, pitching for the Dodgers. He'll take his second start of the season. Left-hander, his first time out against Arizona, mixed results, 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 1 homer, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. So he'll go against the Mariners, the lefties. So look for a lot of righties in the lineup once again tonight as the Mariners try and salvage the finale before an off day and then heading home for a long, long home stand. So we'll see if they can get the win, go to 4-5, and then come home, Texas, Houston, Minnesota, all in a long home stand. So going to be a key home stand, obviously, and it'll be great for the Mariners to get the win before returning home. So now it's time. It is Jackie Robinson Day, and we're going to do our celebration here on the podcast, celebrating Jackie Robinson. And we're going to start on the podcast with his daughter, Sharon Robinson. Now, you're here with Breaking Barriers, yes, a program that you helped develop along with Major League Baseball. Tell us about Breaking Barriers.
It's a program that's all in schools all across the country, and it teaches kids that barriers or obstacles are a part of life. We give them a dad's story, and then they ultimately tell their own story and through a national essay contest. So I'm here today with McCray Leith, who is one of our 9 national winners for grades 4 through 8, and so he and his family came down for the special pregame ceremony.
How uplifting is it to go all over the country to different ballparks, read different stories, meet these children? How much fun is it?
It's a labor of love. This is my 16th year, and I actually go into their classrooms and their schools and really get to spend a day with them and then bring them over to the ballpark. So it's all, and we bring them laptops and books for their whole class and T-shirts. So it's a wonderful program, and the kids all have to talk about a barrier or obstacle they've had to overcome and talk about how they're using 1 or 9 of my dad's values to get to that next level. So it's a wonderful program,
and it's really just one of the many ways that you, along with Major League Baseball, help carry on the legacy of your father. Just a couple of weeks ago, you look at every baseball game and everyone's wearing the number 42.
That was a great day. Yes, my mother and I were with the Yankees, so I spent the day out in the community, and then the game that night, we had the RBI clinic and all kinds of activities out in the community. But it's really exciting. You know, it was Ken Griffey Jr. who actually initiated wearing a player wearing number 42 on Jackie Robinson Day, and now they all do, and we love it. My family loves it. It's a great honor to my father.
And how special is it to share it with a new generation of kids learning about his story for the first time?
Yeah, you know, I when I came to baseball, I said, well, what I do with children is I talk about my dad's character, because I feel like it's something, a part of him that they can take and, you know, and bring into their own lives. And I'm so happy that that's what Breaking Barriers does. I tell kids, you know, that yes, he was a great baseball player, a great athlete, but it was his strength of character that helped him to perform in spite of the pressure.
Visiting with Sharon Robinson, daughter of Jackie Robinson. Now, you do a lot of writing as well. Tell us about some of your writing that you do about your father in particular.
Well, I'm a children's book author primarily. I've written 2 adult books, but I write both fiction and nonfiction. And my fiction books are characters that are also overcoming some kind of obstacle in life. Safe and Home is moved into Harlem after his dad dies, and Slam Dunk, he's soaring, he's running for office, and it's competitive, and it's fun. And then I write books about my father as well, and I've done for different age groups. So right now I'm working on another novel, which is taking me way too long, so I don't like to talk about it.
Well, you must hear stories from how much your father's impacted the lives of so many people and inspiring so many people.
I do, and it's all generations. And, of course, you know, the older ones that were actually there at Ebbets Field have the strongest connection. But they had sons and daughters and nephews and nieces, so you hear that generation saying what my father told me, or I went to the game with my father or grandfather or whatever. So, and now this new generation, they study Jackie Robinson as part of National History Day. They've been, so we do, my mother and I do all kinds of telephone conferences with kids, just talking about Jackie Robinson, and they prepare their boards and go to nationals, and they let me know whether they win or not. So it is really exciting to think that 65 years later, children today are studying my father and get it. They understand, and they understand how strong his character was.
Yeah, it certainly transcends baseball.
Yes, it is.
And much bigger than just a game.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Sharon Robinson, thank you so much for the visit. We certainly appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And you heard Sharon Robinson there mention Ken Griffey Jr. and wearing the number 42. And Here's Junior's side of it, talking to Rick Riz at a spring training game just a couple of weeks ago about Jackie Robinson and wearing the number 42.
What would you ask Jackie? Had a chance to talk to him right now.
I probably wouldn't have, probably couldn't, just wouldn't say anything. Just listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of guys want to out-talk people. Yeah. And I would sit there and listen to what he had to say. Because there are things that he did and went through that none of us have gone through.
You know, everybody now wears number 42 in honor of Jackie every April 15th. You kind of got that going, didn't you?
Well, I wanted to wear it in his honor. And when I called...
Called Bud, didn't you?
Called Bud at home. He called me back. And we started talking. And he said, I'm going to ask her. And he called back a day later. And he said, do you mind if everybody wears it? And I said, no, not at all. You know, for me, you know, having everybody wear it is a great thing. I think that we still have one more number that, you know, needs to be retired like that, and that's 21.
Roberto.
Yeah.
Clemente.
For the things that he did. I think, I'd like to see his on the last day of the season because, a couple of weeks later, was gone after that. You know, and I would like to see that number retired for all of baseball.
What was that conversation like with Bud to say, hey, I want to wear number 42? And
I just said, hey, you know, the things that this man has done, I would love to honor wearing number 42 that day. You know, and like I said, he thought about it for a second. He said, I just need to talk to her, and I'm going to call you back. Call me back. And he says, it's a great idea. Glad that you were able to start this movement. Do you mind if everybody wears it? And I go, nope, not at all.
I love that story about the number 42, and I love the fact that today everyone is going to wear the number 42. It's so great, too. Timely, they're in Los Angeles playing the Dodgers. Rick Riz, a chance to talk to Don Newcomb, a teammate of Jackie Robinson's. Great conversation. Here's Rick with the great Don Newcomb.
Well, Don, a very special day in baseball, April 15th, 1947. That was the day the game of baseball really changed. Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, and you followed Jackie with the old Brooklyn Dodgers only 2 years later in 1949. What was going through your mind and the other great African-American players the day you heard that Branch Rickey and the Brooklyn Dodgers signed Jackie Robinson to a professional contract to go to Montreal and play?
Well, I had signed the contract along with Roy Campanella. Let's not forget Roy Campanella in this whole interview. And Roy and I were supposed to go to Danville, Illinois to play in the 3I League on the Danville Dodger team in Class A, classification. When Branch Rickey called the president of that league, he said to Branch Rickey, if you send, and they use the N-word, if you send the N-word out here, I'm going to close the league down. They'll never play here. So Branch Rickey said, well, what do you mean? And I said, no, they'll never play here. So we had to be withdrawn, Roy and I, and we checked the Dodger farm system to find out where we would go, and the Dodgers had one team left, and that was in Nashua, New Hampshire, the Class B level. And we wound up going to Nashua, New Hampshire, and we played in Nashua, and Branch Rickey got a call from the president of that league and said, I don't care what color they are, just send them out there if they can play baseball. Branch said they can play baseball. I signed them to a contract. Send them out and they can play in this league and do anything they want to do. And we went to Nashua, Roy and I. Roy became the MVP that year in 1946 in Nashua, New Hampshire. I won 14 and lost 4.
Wow.
And I had to go back the next year to make sure I was in the right place. I won 19 and lost 6 before they called me up to Montreal and my advancement to the Dodgers in Brooklyn.
Jackie, of course, was the first, and only 3 months later than Larry Doby in the American League with the Cleveland Indians. What made Jackie so tough? How was he able to handle what he did in the early days?
He wasn't afraid of anything. He was a man out there with a uniform on, standing on his 2 feet, doing his job that he was commissioned to do. And he had a whole horde of people that he had to represent. And most certainly Branch Rickey and the Dodgers, but outside of Branch Rickey and the Dodgers, a whole lot of people, and that included me and Roy and a gang of other people, Rick, that were depending on him, because they were not available at the time, a man who could do the job that Jackie Robinson did. None that I know of, and nobody else could tell me that they knew of at that time. Well, they could play baseball.
Right.
But Jackie needed to let people know that not only can I play baseball, but I know how to handle myself. Right. I know how to take care of myself. Branch Rickey asked him, if I slap you on your left cheek, what will you do? He knew what Branch Rickey was doing. He was, testing him. He said, Mr. Rickey, I'll turn my left cheek. Now, I'll guarantee anybody that slapped Jackie Robinson on his right cheek would never have gotten to the left cheek, Rick, because they had gotten up from the floor.
Right.
He wasn't going to hit Jackie Robinson and get to his left cheek. Well, he knew how to take care of himself. Thank God nobody ever did that. Nobody ever tried that. They tried with knocking Jackie down, opposing players did. They tried with calling them names. They tried with writing them letters and saying they're going to kill him if he came into the ballpark, and they did that many times. In Cincinnati, they did it one time, and they said, if you come, we're going to kill all of you.
Visiting with Don Newcomb. Don, 50 years later, 1997, baseball retires Jackie's number throughout the game, number 42. What's it like for you to see all these players, the African-Americans, the white players, wearing number 42 in honor of Jackie?
A word that's so seldom used by people, even today, Rick, and even then it never was used as far as Jackie was concerned, I don't think. I never heard it, but now it's used all the time. Respect. Respect for Jackie Robinson and what he did. Respect for Jackie and Roy and Larry and all of us and what we did. Jackie couldn't have done it by himself, but he sure tried. He would have tried harder. But he had Roy and I, and then Larry Doby came along, and we all added to the whole thing that Jackie was proud of. Jackie was proud of us, too. He was very proud of us. And the respect that we all got is something that we all appreciate.
Mr. Newcomb, what a pleasure to have the time to sit down and talk with you about your career and about one of the greatest players of all time, Jackie Robinson, on this very special day in the game of baseball. Mr. Newcomb, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You went to Mr. Newcomb anyhow, didn't you? You wouldn't call me Don. It makes it look like when old
I
man
had to.
Call me Mr. Newcomb.
I had to.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much.
I tell you why, you're closing on 89, but you look fabulous, Don. Thank you so much.
In regards to all my friends in Seattle.
And finally, here's Ricky Weeks, Shannon Dreher with Ricky Weeks, a tremendous conversation about what he's doing to carry on the legacy that is Jackie Robinson.
Of course, got a big day coming up on Wednesday, Jackie Robinson Day, and I did a little bit of research on you, and it seems like this is a passion of yours, not just yours, but your family's
right.
as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty big for me just because, first off, Jackie Robinson obviously making it possible for me to play this game, you know, as long as I have, but at the same time, doing some inner city stuff back home and trying to help out my dad doing some things, and my grandfather used to play, so, you know, it's always good to just have a day like that to have for a special occasion like that.
Is your grandfather able to tell you stories about back then?
No, not really, but, you know, he has told me a couple of things here and there of it, you know, obviously, but, man, that's just for the most part, just, you know, it's always about how those guys back then paved the way for me to get here. So just knowing that, you know, makes it easy to come to the field every day and to play a game that I love.
And your father works with inner city kids, too. I believe it was the Orlando Monarchs, which is, you know, obviously with the Kansas City Monarchs.
It's Orlando Monarchs back home in Orlando, Florida, and you know, we try to do some baseball things with kids back home. And, you know, try to bring black kids back, you know, into baseball. Because a lot of time, I think a lot of kids they venture off when they get to a certain age, especially in Florida. You know, it's a big football state and basketball. So just getting kids, you know, used to playing baseball again. But it's always been a great program, and I'm just happy for it.
Now, why did you and your brother play baseball?
Honestly, my dad. Honestly, you know, my dad played college ball coming up, and him just, you know, introducing me to the game, and then my brother pretty sure followed me in the game too. So, just playing the game behind my dad, really.
What do you think are some of the barriers right now, and then what would be your biggest sales pitch to a kid growing up to play baseball?
Well, the biggest thing I think is, you know, is trying to get these black players who's playing this game right now, you know, out in front of the media. I think the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of times the thing that we see on TV is the media trying to glorify these football and basketball athletes. And, I mean, you let's be honest, you know, those are great games to play, but, you know, I think baseball is better. But, you know, when you have football and basketball taking over the media spotlight on TV, it's a whole lot easier for a kid to, you know, gravitate towards football and basketball. So I'm going to think for us as a whole and as a black athlete, I think it's good for us to get out there and try to teach these kids a certain way and to show them that baseball is a great game of sport.
How important is it passing down the history? I talk to so many guys and they get it from different areas. And the reason why we have a Jackie Robinson Day is, you know, A, to thank him and his family for what they've done, but to keep it out there and to keep those stories going.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's real big. You know, a lot of time I know, you know, me growing up, I was a history guy, but not everybody's a history guy. I'd like to go back in time and see who paved the way, who did what, who did this. And I think it's good for people like me or people like guys who've been there to go out there and tell these stories and, you know, reach out to these kids, tell them that, and look, you know, we had some guys back in the day who used to do the same thing you're doing right now. So it's always good to see that.
Do you have a hero or a role model in that regard?
My role model growing up was Ricky Henderson. You know, I used to love watching him. I actually got a chance to talk to him, you know, in Oakland. But, he definitely my role model. But if it was somebody who was close and dear to my heart, it was probably my parents who showed me the way.
Absolutely. A little bit more about what your dad's doing in Orlando. How do you get involved with that, and what does that do for you?
It's a sense of pride, I think, you know, for the most part. But I know, you know, me growing up, I didn't have nobody come back this, you know, to tell me, you know, about the game of baseball, you know, outside of my family. So I think it's good for us to go out there and try to give these kids opportunity that I never got, but to try to show them a way that, look, I came from the same place you came from, and we can do the same thing that I'm doing right now, and that's play the game that I love.
What do you see when you look out at a group of those kids?
Oh, great, man. A lot of times, I don't think people realize that kids, they just want to be seen, or they just want to be touched by somebody who's done some great things in life. And a lot of times, that just means, you know, going to them saying, you know, you're a great player, you know, do this and do that to get better, or you just going to just go watching them play and things like that. They get more enjoyment from that than, you know, sitting at home and watching me play on TV.
Absolutely. Finally, if you were to talk to them about Jackie Robinson, what would you want them to know about him?
Everybody knows the story, but I think the biggest thing is he was a better person than their baseball player, I think. And a lot of times, you know, dad goes a long way in baseball. And I think people knows, you know, the good people in baseball. But a guy like that, to pave the way like that, to go through the hardship that you know, that he went through, you know, it's always good to see him being glorified and to bring back the game of baseball in African-American community.
Ricky, it was a great surprise when I was doing the research for this and saw what you and your family have done. It's a great thing to do, and I wish you much, much success.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And there it is. Enjoy today, Jackie Robinson Day, and we'll see if the Mariners can salvage the finale and come home with a win before the homestand. Tomorrow's podcast, Mike Curto's going to join us from the Tacoma Rainiers. That should be a fun conversation. And of course, we'll have the game tonight to review. We'll see if the Mariners can get that win. So until tomorrow, so long.
Yes, yes, Jackie, hit that ball.
Robinson kind of shaking up the ballpark a bit. He dances down off third. Robbie's coming to the plate. The throw to Barra, he steals it.
A solid mile, yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie, hit that ball.
See you later!